In studio this morning, we have Adam Klasowiak. I hope that pronounced that correctly. Morning, Adam. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And we are so pleased to see that he is holding in his hand a beautiful Klaus guitar. Tell us a little bit about the instrument and about the company.
Yeah, so Klaus Guitars, my brother and I started it 4 years ago. Essentially, the idea is carbon fiber is a great material for building instruments because it's extremely durable, resistant to temperature and humidity changes. As we know here in Park City, you know, the summer and winter are very different. And this material really is extremely strong. We've done some durability tests with it. We've driven a car over our ukulele, and it survived. And they're quite unique because the neck is made out of wood, and the body is carbon fiber, and that allows us to have the most affordable carbon fiber guitar on the market. It's about one-third of the price of all other carbon fiber guitars out there.
So it's strong. It's lightweight. It's also beautiful for people that haven't seen carbon fiber. I like to fly small airplanes, so I've seen carbon fiber there, and it is beautiful. But it's a musical instrument.
Yeah.
And the materials for a musical instrument, I'm not a musician, but I have friends that are, and they talk about, you know, how humidity can affect the sound of their instrument.
Right.
So how does using carbon fiber affect the guitar from a musical standpoint?
Yeah, it's the question that we get the most often, and really, when it comes down to it, carbon fiber is a man-made material, and so you can shape it and create it just how you want it to sound. So, you know, wooden guitars, you go to a tree, you cut it down, you shape it, and you make a guitar. With carbon fiber, for the listeners, they can't see, but on the inside of our sound hole, we've got the soundboard is a layer of carbon fiber and then foam. And then carbon fiber. And then on the inside of the guitar, there's also what's called bracing. And, you know, you can change the thickness of the carbon fiber, the thickness of the foam, the density of the foam, the orientation of the bracing. So basically, there are enough variables where you can make the guitar sound just like wood, even though it's not wood. And I can strum a few chords here. So it sounds just like a guitar. Most people, when they first see it and hear it, they're like, oh, it sounds like a guitar. Well, it is a guitar.
Well, it's supposed to, yeah.
It sounds like a very good guitar. So from a business perspective, what inspired you and your brother, to decide to build a business on this platform?
Yeah, so our background is not the traditional guitar building background. So I studied electrical engineering at Princeton University. And my brother did mechanical engineering at Brigham Young University. And about the same time that I was getting into entrepreneurship, my brother had this course where they had to build something innovative. And so he had a background in biking. We're both huge road bikers. And obviously our bikes are carbon fiber. And he had fixed a bike once. So we're from Chicago. And my brother worked at this bike shop, and this woman was throwing away a broken Colnago carbon fiber frame, which is worth about $5,000. And all it had was a broken back tube. And it, you know, my brother asked if he could take the frame, wrapped it in five layers of carbon fiber, and salvaged the frame that way. And one of our other brothers is still riding it to this day, 10 years later. And he also had some composite experience from class and an internship. And so he thought, hey, why don't I build a carbon fiber guitar? Because all the other carbon fiber guitars out there start at about $1,600. And, you know, as a poor college student, that's not really an option. And so he had built this one guitar. And about the same time, I was just getting into entrepreneurship at Princeton. And I also had a travel guitar that broke that winter because it got so cold, the soundboard actually split from the bridge to the back of the soundboard. And so when I was visiting him out here in Utah for a ski trip, this was February 2015, he asked if I wanted to enter his guitar into a local business competition. And so that's what we did. After skiing, I pulled together this five-minute video, you know, simple market assessment, competitor assessment, the pain point of wooden travel guitars, which was our first instrument. And we won $1,000. And, you know, for us at the time, that was a ton of money. We were really excited about it. And so we built a second guitar. We kept applying to business competitions. And the ball kind of just got rolling from there. You know, we won a couple other competitions. We got a $20,000 no strings attached grant from Princeton to start.
That's interesting. A no strings attached grant from guitar manufacturer is unusual.
No pun intended. And so that first summer, 2015, we launched a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter. That's kind of how we got our first 70 customers. Took us about 8 months to build those first 70 guitars because everything we do, we try to have a long-term mindset. So we weren't just building the 70 instruments. We were building
a system,
the processes to build more after that. Exactly. So that was 2015. We sold 70 guitars. And, you know, fast forward 4 years, just last year, we sold just over 1,500. So we're growing quickly. And
so talk to us about how you scaled. So you sold those 70 guitars on Kickstarter.
That's right.
And how did you now you're doing 1,500 a year. That's a big jump. Congratulations.
Thank you.
To do that.
Yeah.
So what was the secret to that scale from a customer standpoint, customer acquisition?
Yeah. So there are definitely many elements. You know, we started with the travel guitar. That's a fairly small market in the guitar world. So we knew that part of scaling is always going to be expanding the product line, the product offering. So about 2 years after we launched the travel guitar, we came out with a ukulele, which was March of last year. And then right after that, we came out with a full-size guitar, which is the one I'm holding here, which is just a normal full-size dreadnought. So part of scaling was increasing the product offering. But outside of that, it was really steady scaling the whole time. But
from a customer acquisition standpoint, was it mostly social media, or how do people find out about your guitars?
Yeah, so Kickstarter is largely Facebook-driven when it comes to launching Kickstarter campaigns. And our first 1,000 customers or so were on Kickstarter. So we did that first campaign, and then we launched our online store, and we were doing mostly Facebook advertising, Google AdWords advertising. And then we would launch these new products via Kickstarter, and then we'd move it over to our website. So we've done 6 Kickstarters since the beginning. Now most of our revenue is on our website. Facebook and Google are the main paid traffic drivers. And then organic is reaching out to a lot of blogs, you know, asking them to review the guitar, reaching out to popular guitar reviewers. In the guitar world, credibility is extremely important. And so if you reach out to someone who's done, you know, 500 reviews, for example, there's someone called Tony Policastro. He did a review of our guitar, and now it's got over 100,000 views. And wow. So many people reach out to us, and they're like, hey, you know, I love Tony. I saw his review, and I really want to buy this guitar. So building a brand comes down to trust, offering something that no one else does, inspiring your customers to not just use your product, but live and breathe the product. And that's something that we've been shocked and really impressed with our customers, actually. Our customers do some of the most incredible things, you know, it being a durable guitar and us advertising it as such. We've had our customers take the guitar to the base camp of Everest, the top of Denali, where one guy played Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Someone biked from Montreal to San Diego, 10,000 kilometers with the guitar strapped to his back. So it's really quite cool what people will do with their music and their passion for it. And we love having a tool that allows you to do that.
I want to talk about the flip side, which is building a production model. But first, let me just ask you, is most of your retail almost direct from the website as opposed to, do you have retail distribution channels?
So we are just direct right now, and retail expansion is something that we're working on right now. It's kind of the next phase of our growth.
Okay. And tell us a bit about how you scaled up production. How does your production work? How many employees? And where are you building these guitars?
Yeah, so we build the guitars in Provo. And we've got about 24 employees right now. And yeah, production has also been, you know, that's been a feat in and of itself just the last 4 years. It comes down to breaking down the production of the guitar into as many small steps as you can. So we have about 113 steps for building the travel guitar.
Wow.
And, you know, one step is stringing, one step is installing the nut, one step is installing the saddle. And for each step, we have very clear instructions, instructional videos, data on how long it should take. And we've developed those resources over the years. And so we have a really good understanding of how long it should take to do something. And there's a lot of data on training and instruction. So we do the same thing with the ukulele, the full-size guitar, and in the shop itself, you know, organizing everything, making sure everything's clean, everyone has a dedicated station to the task are all really important aspects.
Thank you, Adam. We've been talking to Adam Klasowiak. How do I pronounce it, Adam?
Yeah, Klasowiak, yeah.
Klasowiak. Founder of Kloss Guitars with his brother Ian. Thanks for spending time with us. Unfortunately, we have to leave. Appreciate it, Adam.
All right, thank you.